Think of the people down in the Caribbean, down in Mexico, down in Florida, dealing with what seems like an unprecedented string of natural disaster in the aftermath that is. When I think of suffering, I think of our brothers and sisters around the world, in the United States, and even here in Virginia, that because of hatred and racism and violence and bigotry, they feel like they don't have a place in our society. When I think of suffering, I think of our gospel lesson for this morning and what it must have felt like for the workers who waited out until the last hour to be hired, how it must have felt for them to sit in the hot sun all day long just to try and get a little bit of work so they could bring something home for their families, even if it was just a little bit. When I think of suffering and think of ways to define it, I can think of 100 different ways to do that. I can think of 100 different ways to explain to someone what it is, 100 different ways to tell someone what it feels like to go through that suffering. Yet it seems the only way I've never been able to describe that is exactly the way Paul talks about it in the letter to the Philippians this morning. And if you're like me, my friends, when you first heard that epistle reading, you were probably shocked at what Paul said about suffering. And I'll be the first to admit, it's not hard to be shocked by something Paul says. Between his sometimes arrogant tone and boastfulness, we all get shocked by Paul. But when I first looked at the reading again this week, I thought, man, this guy really outdid himself this time. He must be just a little bit crazy. If you recall, he said that the Philippians were not only granted the privilege to believe in Christ, but they were granted the privilege to suffer for Christ as well. They were granted the privilege to suffer. I don't know about you, but if I were in the church in Philippi and heard that letter being read aloud for the first time, especially if I didn't know who this Paul character was, I'd probably be a little bit angry. Who does this guy think he is to tell me that my suffering is a privilege? Suffering is tough to go through. What is he talking about? He can't be serious. But Paul was serious, my friends. And when something this serious comes up in the scriptures, when we get a shock value this high, I like to pay attention to that. Because for me, those things speak to us most. I like to wrestle with those things. I like to try and figure out what they mean for our lives and here and now. So I'd like to unpack that just a little bit more with you this morning. And to start doing that, we need to understand a little bit of background about the letter itself and where Paul's writing this letter from. See, Paul's not writing the letter to the church in Philippi from a desk in the library at Virginia Seminary where he can look out and see the pristine grounds. He's not writing from a church desk where he can look out and see all the creation working in its marvelous way. He's not writing it from a little corner in Starbucks with the aromas of coffee filling the air. He's writing it from a prison cell. And even though Paul tells the Philippians at the beginning of the letter that he's joyous and in good spirits to be writing to them, we get a sense from the letter itself that he's in the midst of a struggle. He's suffering of some sort. Now, his suffering is important because he's trying to connect with the church in Philippi. He's trying to show them that he understands what suffering is because the church in Philippi itself is suffering. You see, Philippi is a Roman-occupied city. So the church is probably pretty small, and the Christian community is probably pretty small, and so Paul is trying to get them to understand that he knows what it's like to go through suffering and through persecution and through tough times. See, it's not the first time Paul's been in prison, and it's probably not going to be the last that he knows that. In fact, it wasn't the last. So Paul's trying to sort out what his duty is to be in the flesh when all he really wants to do is be with Christ. We need to look now at what that suffering really means. Why does Paul say it's a privilege for us to suffer? To do that, we need to understand a little bit about Paul's driving question for his ministry, and that is, what does it mean to live a Christian life? Paul's constantly trying to figure that out, and in fact, the letter to the Philippians as a whole deals with a lot of that imagery. Paul's trying to figure out what it means for us to say we're in Christ. And for Paul, if we are in Christ, that must mean we must live our lives like the ultimate example of the Christian life, and that is to model our lives like Jesus did himself. Model our lives like Jesus. So that means if we're in Christ, we need to think like Jesus thought. We need to be like Jesus thought. We need to have our attitude shaped in the way Jesus had his attitude shaped. Kind of like that Jungle Book song when the guys are singing, I want to walk like you and talk like you and be like you too. That's what I think the song is in Paul's head. He's thinking about that constantly. And so with that mindset in order, we can now begin to look at our shock value statement. It comes to be a little bit more clear because you see, when we look at the gospel text, when we look at the scriptures, when Jesus was going through his own suffering, when people were constantly telling Jesus that he was doing things wrong, when people were persecuting Jesus in those passion narratives, what did Jesus do? How did he act? And how did he react to those situations? Jesus, my friends, didn't fight his abusers with abuse. Didn't fight anger with anger. Instead, the one thing that he did every time was to put his trust in God. He put his trust into the one who he knew could carry him through any situation. That's what Paul's trying to tell us this morning. If we're in Christ, if we're modeling our lives like Christ, when we go through our own bit of suffering and trial and tribulation, we need to put our trust in God as well if we say that we're really in Christ. And the privilege of that, my friends, is that we get to participate in something greater than ourselves when we're baptized into Christ, we live and die and are resurrected with Christ, and we get to be part of that wonderful redemptive plan that God has. We all go through suffering in times of trouble and tribulation, and that suffering isn't easy, and it takes form in many different shapes. Whether it's an illness that we're going through, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, hatred or violence being directed at us, a tough financial situation at home or at work or even at church, we all go through tough moments in our lives. But what Paul's trying to tell us this morning is that those tough moments are not an abandonment from God. Suffering is not abandonment from God, and in fact, in the Christian life, we're actually called to suffer. It's a grace of God because we're all going to go through suffering whether we believe in God or not. But the benefit of living the Christian life is that God gives us the strength to pass through anything. We live like we live in Christ, like Paul's talking about. And that's a beautiful thought. God loves us so much that he's going to give us the strength to pass through anything we're going through. We all have to go through something, my friends, whether it's good or bad. So the real question I want to pose to you this morning is not, why am I suffering? Why am I going through these things? Why am I privileged to suffer? But what am I going to do when I get through? What is God having in store for me? What am I going to do to be part of that redemptive work of Christ when I get through those tough times? Our baptism, my friends, marks us differently than the rest of the world. And when we make those baptismal promises like we made last week, and when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant like we're going to this morning, we're promising to God that we're going to live our lives just a little bit differently than everybody else. That means even being different in the face of suffering and how we approach our attitudes of suffering and trial. But that also means that we're not called to just be different around our own suffering, but around others who suffer as well. You know what it's like to go through tough times, my friends. You know what it's like to be at the bottom. Now imagine what that's like when you don't have God by your side. Imagine what that's like when you don't have this community surrounding you to pick you up when you fall down. the benefit of the Christian life, that we have each other, that we have God to pull us through those tough times. And it breaks my heart to know that there's people out there in the world that don't have what we have. But living differently calls us to go out into the world and tell other people that they can live different too. They can be part of this wonderful thing that we have going on. My friends, we're all going to go through bad times in our lives. We're all going to go through suffering. And everything that I've been saying this morning isn't to sugarcoat the things we're going through, because I know they're real and I know they hurt. And I know they sometimes downright just suck. But I promise you, if you put your trust in God, if you live in Christ like Paul's telling us that we need to do, if you model your life like Christ and live differently, God will never let you go. God will always give you the strength to pass through whatever you're going through. I promise you, with God by your side, the possibilities are endless. You don't know what it's going to look like when we go through, but God's going to be there no matter what. So in closing this morning, I ask you one more time, what are you going to do when you go through? How are you going to be part of that redemptive act and work of Christ in this world? Because the world needs you to be that way. Amen.
Amen.